As we get ready to go into the Word today, something that to think about, a question, is it's interesting how easy it is for us to become accustomed to certain things. The weather right now is getting chillier and colder, and I don't know if we're quite used to it, but frankly, if it was this cold in the middle of July, we would be all about ready to be done in. But it's getting cold and we get used to it. And there's some things that we need to be able to get used to. It's something that is makes it where we can survive life. But there's some things that we should never get accustomed to. Yet we live in a situation where oftentimes the things that we should never become accustomed to, it's a lot easier just to get used to it. Good example of someone getting accustomed to things that they shouldn't get accustomed to was Lot. We know from the New Testament he was a righteous man. But when Abraham and Lot were going to divide the land because their herdsmen were in conflict and their herds were getting too big to graze together, Lot looked at the well-watered plains and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and said, "That's the area I want." And he camped and eventually he moved into Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know from the New Testament that his righteous soul was vexed day by day, but there was a sense that he had to have gotten used to, he had to have gotten acclimated to the wrong and the evil that was going on around him. As believers, if we're going to be holy, if we're going to be sanctified, there's going to be a point where we need to not be acclimated. And there's a challenge. Because as we're going through life, how are we going to not accept evil as being okay and yet be a loving individual? That's a challenge. Proverbs chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 16. There's an interesting statement here that we have in verse 16. We'll be looking through verse 19, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Verse 16 starts off this segment of Proverbs and says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him." God in his holiness hates things. We live in a day and age, if you use the word hate, that's a bad thing. But in reality, everybody hates something. And when we live holy and we have holiness, there's going to be certain things in our life that we see and we do not approve of and we have a hatred for. We have a deep aversion for it. In fact, the word here in Proverbs 6, verse 16, where it says abomination, has the idea for us, if we find something abominable, it would turn our stomach. It would make us sick. And again, I think some of these things, it's very easy to get acclimated to and think are okay. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll examine these scriptures together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, you're a good and gracious God. And that is because you're a holy God. Your holiness and your love, they're not in contradiction, but they work together. And a loving God that would be unholy would not be possible, or a God that is loving and unholy is not possible. And Lord, we want to be those that live out the truth, that we live holy lives, that we have holy hearts, and we desire to be holy as you're holy. Lord, I just ask as we look in these things that you would just fortify and strengthen us as we live in this world, and yet we seek to not be a part of this world. We'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we get ready to look at these four verses, there's some things that need to be said about verse 16 before we plunge into these seven things that God finds abominable. And that is, first of all, the very structure of the way it says the statement in verse 16. It might sound a little bit odd to us, but it says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. So, okay, well, why don't we just say there's seven things that God hates? Well, the reality is this is a way of emphasis, for one thing, and it's also a way to point out what God finds as being the worst. You know, we would do this in conversations. Let's say we're talking, and I'm not going to be specific, but let's say we're talking about the worst quarterbacks ever, and we start going through our reminiscence of NFL quarterbacks, and finally somebody dredges up from their memory the absolute worst quarterback. Wait, I have the worst one, and they throw out the name. That's sort of what is going on here. There's six things that are horrible, and boom, there's a seventh one that is absolutely disastrous. Now, as we look at these seven things, a lot of them have a degree of acceptability in our society today. In fact, as we look at these, there's a lot of popular culture that would fit right into this description as being okay. And again, that's the challenge for us as believers, that as we live in our society and we are surrounded by this popular culture, that we do not accept this as being normal and being okay. So what is the first thing that God describes here as something that he hates and he finds disgusting? By the way, as we look at these seven things, each one of them are going to have a connection to our body. Some of them aren't as explicit as others, but the very first one here is eyes, the second one is tongues, third one is hands that shed innocent blood, and it's a way of God looking at how we use our being and how we use our opportunity to live, think, feel, and do. But ultimately, all these things are pointed towards the heart. What is our heart like? So the very first thing that he looks at here is haughty eyes. If you have King James Version, it's translated a proud look. But it's haughty eyes. And this is something that God finds hateful. And again, we live in a society where pride, arrogance, and just establishment and promotion of self is big. God hates that. God finds that as being disgusting. And we can picture people that have a proud look to their face. And their attitude and mannerisms is one of, I'm the most important person. We're told in the scriptures that we're not to esteem ourselves better than we ought to esteem ourselves. What is so dangerous about pride? Well, there's a number of things that we're told about pride. One of the things is that pride comes before a fall. But one of the biggest things about the problem with pride is it is the very essence of a significant portion of our sin. When we think of it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not a mistake here that the very first thing that is listed off is this idea of pride. People think they are the center, they're the locus of meaning. They are the ones that establish what is right and wrong. God finds pride as being something abominable. A second thing that God finds as being stomach-turning and ill-causing is a lying tongue. We live in a society where truth is rapidly slipping away as being something that is valuable and important. There's a very great inconsistency in the general sense of the idea of valuing truth. We even talked about that this morning as we're doing our Bible study on conversational evangelism. There was an allusion to this idea of truth. There was the one-minute... What was that called? One-minute apologist, where there was an interview with Norm Geisler, and the conversation was when somebody says, there is no truth, and then you turn around and you And he points out, you can never escape this idea of the existence of truth. Because what is the response to someone that says, there is no truth? Well, is that a true statement? Okay? Sort of the idea is, there's absolutely no right or wrong. Well, is that the absolute truth? Truth is something that is the bedrock of God's relationship to us. In fact, the New Testament word for truth is the idea of not hitting. It's a negative word. It's aletheia. It's a combination of two words, uncovered or not hidden. Very close to the idea of revelation. God reveals truth. He shows himself through creation, and he shows himself through his word. So a lying tongue is very contrary to the very nature of God that deals in truth and reveals himself to us. There's many people that think lying is actually a good mechanism. They'll lie to protect themselves. They'll lie to get their way. As believers, we understand that is something that is not okay and that should be set aside. As believers, the challenge, though, is sometimes the little ways that we may not tell the truth. You know, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing great. Yeah, sometimes when people ask us how are we doing, they're not really interested in us telling us how we're doing. But there's a lot of different ways that we can be dishonest. By the way, I can't remember any time that, in recent history at least, that my wife has done this, but if I had asked her, what's wrong? And you know, if the answer is nothing, everything's wrong, isn't it? We need to be purveyors of truth. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to share every truth that we see. The Bible says to speak the truth in love. Not all truth needs to be spoken. Not every observation that we see needs to be said. We've ran into people that think if they have a thought that runs across their mind, they need to have it come out their mouth. I can think of one person just like that, and they're very hurtful and damaging with their tongue. Nobody here. But not everything that is a true observation needs to be shared. But whatever is spoken from our mouth needs to be truthful. And that is the standard that God has given us. We need to speak the truth in love. By the way, sometimes we will have to say things that are true that may be harmful to us. People may not like us because we speak the truth. But God is in control, and he is a holy God and will stand by what we do. A third thing that God hates, and again, it hits right at our society here, and hands that shed innocent blood. Now, I doubt very much anybody here has ever shed innocent blood. But it's something, and I don't speak much on it, because as you go through the Scripture, you want to speak to what the Scripture is speaking to. But we have a society here that very often sheds innocent blood. When it comes to the matter or idea of abortion, I don't think there's any other better definition than this of shedding innocent blood. What is it that makes the shedding of innocent blood so horrible? That is the very fact that every single person has been created in God's image. There's a high standard. Yes, God has capital punishment in the Scripture. There's a high standard for capital punishment in the Scripture. One of those standards of capital punishment is someone that has murdered someone else. Shedding of innocent blood is a disastrous thing, and God hates it. It's very easy to be numb to things that happen in our society. What can I do about it? But God hates it. We need to pray. We need to be involved. We need to have a reaction against that. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. A fourth thing here, as we get to verse 18, he goes here, a heart that devised devises wicked plans. Now, again, each one of these things are looking at a portion of our being, and he looks at the heart that devises wicked plans here. Someone that thinks to do evil. There's something that is paired with that, and that is feet that makes haste to run to evil. There's a combination here of what our thought life is that proceeds to work out into action. The Bible tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, a warning for us, we can look in our society and we see so much wicked thinking that are out there, and we can see how that's translated into action. A warning for us as believers is that we need to have a pure thought life as we're going into life. There's a lot of times when we come to difficulties and struggles, we can see a situation arising. Have you ever had that in your life where you know a problem is going to come to being? Whether it's a family member or whether it's someone that you work with or a neighbor, there's going to be an interaction that you're going to have. And you start working out the different options. You start doing, what are those diagrams called where you have the circles and the squares and if this happens, what is it? Flow chart, yes. In your mind, you start working out the flow charts. If this happens, this is going to be my reaction. And oftentimes, we can think, if this person does this, I'm going to react, and we can fill it in this sinful way. We plan words that we're going to say. We plan reactions to that. As believers, if we see difficulties and struggles happening, we need to do just the opposite of that. If this occurs, what is God's call for me? How should I react to this? So-and-so may say this. I can imagine them saying this. What should my biblical response be to that person? When we do that, we're much better prepared to do what is right. Look at the last thing here, verse 19. If we look at verse 16, then we'll look at verse 19 here. It says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. He gets here to verse 19 and he says, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. So what is the ultimate, the penultimate, the top, the pinnacle of the things that God looks at and he says is not good and is not okay and something that turns his stomach? And he says it's a false witness. Now, we've already talked about in verse 17 a lying tongue. What is the difference between a lying tongue and a false witness? Because as it even says here in verse 19, a false witness who breathes out lies. This false witness has a lying tongue. So it's something that is above and beyond even verse 17. A false witness who breathes out lies. What is a false witness? False witness is different than someone that just outright lies. A false witness is someone that tries to get someone into trouble by lying. A good example of this is when Muffy and I were in New Jersey. There was, I think at one point, there was three children in church. It was three older enough children to speak anyway. Andrew and there was two girls that were older than him. And it took us a while to figure this out, but one of the two girls' favorite things were to make up lies that Andrew had done and watch him get in trouble. So it's amazing, even at that young of an age, that got worked out. God looks at this and says, a false witness who breathes out lies and who sows discord among brothers. This is the ultimate thing that God looks at, and he says, in a community of those that are believers, a community of those that walk together, discord is something that he looks at, and says no to is something that he finds abominable. False witness who breathes out lies and one who sows discord among brothers. What is the responsibility for us as believers in regards to living out holy lives? The responsibility for us is, again, to speak truth, but also to bring unity through speaking that truth. We live in a society that is willing to accept evil and actually promotes a lot of these things. Some of these things, such as pride. If you want to be popular, if you want to be wealthy, if you want to be the it person, you're going to be proud. If you're going to achieve success in our society, a lot of times being lying and willing to lie about other people, that is an ultimate goal. Hands that shed innocent blood. There's some people that is almost a religious attitude that to promote abortion. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run evil. We can see that in our society. False witnessing. There's a lot of skewed reporting. There's a lot of skewed way that people present truth in our society. It's easy for us to become numb to these things. It's interesting, there's a lot of things that if we were going to pick out 6 or 7 things that God would hate, we'd have a different list. But God is looking at things that are fundamental and basic to our heart nature. As believers, we should never become numb to the wickedness and the lack of holiness that is around us. How are we when it comes to our society? Oftentimes, and one of the things that's interesting, we talked about Lot at the very beginning as we introduced this passage. Lot, as he looked at that well-watered plain of Jordan, and he moved closer and eventually moved into Sodom and Gomorrah, they actually, at one point, had Lot sitting at the gate. He was one of the judges of the city. They probably even admired him because, you know, where the other guys might lie or cheat or swindle him out, you know, they could trust Lot to be a straight shooter. And our society is going to be hard to live right and just. It's going to be hard to be holy in the face of a society that has jettisoned so much truth. As believers, there should be a goal to be holy. And there's going to be things that we're going to have to be willing to not be comfortable with. In fact, there's going to be things that should cause us to be sick to our stomach. And we should not become numb to those things. Let's go and close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we live in a society that is more often than not rejecting you, rejecting your truth. I just ask that we would have not just behaviors and actions of holiness, but Lord, our attitude and our outlook towards things, that we would not become comfortable with error, that we would not become comfortable with unholiness. Lord, let us be loving to those that are lost. Let us be loving to those that are in the world. But Lord, let us not be acceptable of the things that are of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.